At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Tonight's video, we have an average Joe, a guy who works a 9-to-5 in a cubicle, just wasting his life on a guaranteed paycheck, goes off on this hiking trail that supposedly is closed down due to a fire, but disregards the warnings and clearing a path, disregarding the park ranger warnings. He encounters something so horrifying in these woods, I doubt you'll ever want to go hiking again. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. My plan for that day had been simple, relaxing even. It was my first outing since the lockdown had eased, and I was nearly bursting at the seams to get out of my small apartment and back out into the world. I had planned to take my regular weekend trip through one of the state's many parks, clearing my mind of the baggage accumulated over the week of working remotely for my phone bank, a job I hated but kept out of absolute necessity. That day now lives on in personal infamy, as the day in which the trajectory of my life was changed by the veil being lifted from my own eyes, being exposed to the true horrors that call our world their stomping grounds. It was Saturday, one of the 2 days allotted by the work week for me to actually try and enjoy my life. The goal was to go to my usual hike, taking the 2.5-hour drive from my cramped Chicago apartment out to my favorite part of the state's lesser-known state parks, and disappear down my favorite of its all-but-unused hiking trails was a customary, taking photos of whatever interesting wildlife or flora I saw along the way. My weekend escapades into some of the various forests of my state were always about escapism. They were the few moments I could steal for myself in which I could escape the gray fog of blandness that seemed so pervasive in my life since college days, worsened by even suffocating realization that I was working a dead-end job, in a field I hated, in a city I didn't love, in a life of pure stagnation that I was growing more and more dissatisfied of by camping or hiking giving me a feeling of purpose my life seemed to lack. My chosen trail was the most daunting of them all, a hike stretching several miles through some of the more uneven parts of the terrain, leading across a small bridge over a creek, through some rather dense forest on rather uneven ground. Due to the difficulty of its navigability, it was almost always empty save for the odd occasional hiker as dedicated as myself, or park ranger roaming what little of a path existed amongst the ever-encroaching plant life, and even those were rare sights. When I had arrived that day, however, I was greeted at the opening of the path by red tape, crossing over it, stretching between handrails on either side of the small wooden entrance to the trail. A small sign hung from the center of it, its red letters immediately catching my eye. Trail closed due to wildfire damages. Thank you for your patience, Park Service. For a moment, I considered the warning. A quick glance around me revealed only a few straggling hikers, none of whom were paying me any mind, and no sign of any park rangers. I've gone off the path before. I could wade through that creek no problem, I thought, a tingle of excitement buzzing through me at the prospect of a hike with an added element of stealth. I had always been something of a thrill seeker, an aspect of life I rarely got to indulge in, stuck in a cubicle most hours of my life. And I couldn't pass up the chance to do something that got my heart racing, even as small as this. A grin stretched across my face, and I quickly made my way under the tape and down the path before anyone could notice. and I quickly made my way under the tape and down the path before anyone could take notice. The path was almost unchanged from usual, with the exception of an hour in as I approached the familiar clearing. A small, man-made field of nothing maybe 20 feet across, surrounded by oaks and pines. In it stood a massive white tower like a cabin on stilts, the fire lookout station. The path stretched directly through the clearing and in view of any potential ranger on the lookout, who would surely turn me back. I crouched low, holding the straps of my camera bag close to my body to prevent it from shuffling against the leaves. Venturing off the path for the first time, staying well within the tree line as I slowly made my way around the clearing. Through the trees, I could sort of make out the ranger in the tower above, and her attention seemed to be directly the other way. I felt a small surge of relief at that. My hair stood on end in the excruciating silence. I doubt I even took in a lungful of air until I was long past the clearing, and back on the main path. Still, I kept my guard up. Based on what the notice had said, there had been a fire in the area recently, and I could imagine there'd be an increase of rangers on foot in the area to identify a cause. It was strange to me, though, that I had heard nothing at all about such an event given by how much I frequented the park, and I gathered it must have been recent. I reached the bridge soon after, or its remnants anyways, just a few acres past the tower, bearing the first visual evidence of any forest fire I had seen since I entered. Charred remnants of the planks that had once been a bridge extended out from the earth in jagged pieces from both sides of the creek's bank. A few heavier chunks in no better shape caught on stones in the rushing water below. The fire had clearly ravaged the thing, leaving little trace of it, and I could understand why this would be seen as a potential hazard. A sudden inkling of curiosity raised a question as I looked around the area of the former bridge. None of the nearby trees seemed to bear any signs of a fire. No charring or missing leaves. Nothing. I wondered what kind of wildfire this was, and how it had seemingly leaped past half of them directly to the bridge. Wind, perhaps? A traveling spark? The explanations felt wanting, but the thought was a vague curiosity in itself, and not nearly enough to stop my hike. If anything, it was starting to feel something like an adventure, which is exactly what I sort of wanted from these things. My smile returned as I began removing my boots and hiking socks, rolling up my pant legs as I stepped into the creek below. The water was colder than I anticipated, sending an icy jolt through me as soon as I made contact. It reached just above my knees, and the current was stronger than I expected, nearly making me lose balance, and almost plunge my bag into the water. A sigh of relief escaped my lips as I maintained my footing, just barely, and crossed the stream with care easing over the slick rocks beneath my feet. I put everything back on and continued the hike. At some point, removing my camera from the bag and snapping some pictures of the places where the afternoon sun broke through the canopy. I had been walking for a little over an hour when I caught sight of what I realized was the first animal I had seen since I had arrived. A deer, a buck specifically, with a crown of white horns that stretched magnificently. I could almost see the shot lined up in my head. I fumbled with my strap at the bag, bringing it around my chest as I took out my camera and lined up the shot, peering into the viewfinder. Darkness. The frickin' lens cap, you idiot! I scuffed before I could realize it. The animal and I both looked up at each other in that instant. Please don't. It was off before I could even finish the thought, darting deeper into the brush, down a decline in the uneven earth. I followed as best as I could, walking an impossible tightrope between staying close enough to keep it in sight and staying somewhat quiet, often failing at both. It settled down several yards ahead for a moment, taking a moment to sniff the air, before disappearing down a steep decline in the hilly surface, behind a mass of bushes salted with an odd dust. I took the moment to catch my breath, placing my hands on my knees to keep myself up as I huffed deep breaths. Standing still for the first time since I had gotten past the remnants of the bridge, I could see the signs of the fire that had closed the path. The ground was layered in a thin film of gray ash, like a light snowfall that covered everything in the light dusting. Beneath it, the forest floor was covered in leaves, all burnt to various degrees. Some an unrecognizable black crisp, others just singed at the edges, all crumbling with contact. And there was something else. I squinted.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Confusion and a disgusted interest blooming in some snipses of my brain as I noticed it. A wet, shiny film covered parts of the ground, ash and burnt leaves sticking to it. I almost missed it. A strange layer of whatever it was blending in with the charred leaves, black ash making its color murky. Its consistency was snot-like, and I shuddered, the mental comparison making me itch with revulsion, yet piquing an almost childlike sort of curiosity. Scanning the ground for a twig, I noticed several more piles of the stuff. A few piles of the goo not yet dyed by the surrounding ash being blown across the floor by each passing breeze were almost opaque, with the slightest red tint. A sudden yowl, animalistic and painted, rang out from the brush ahead, making my stomach drop, as if I was on a roller coaster. My heart ceased with an immediate grip of panic, shock rippling through me in uncomfortable waves. As the final echoes of the cry rang out, a suffocating silence fell. The air grew thick with the fog of unease, that spine-tingling cry ringing in my ears. I had been hunting once, and only once, as a kid. My father had shot a deer, but it was moving, so he hadn't landed a killing blow. The bullet dug into its hind leg, and it fell and snapped the thing. That poor frickin' animal, I swear it screamed. Not just bray like I'd heard animals do when they were upset or scared, but screamed the type of scream of something in true agony. Dad had quickly put it out of its misery, but that scream, I never forgot it, and this was much too similar to that. Strands of creeping dread started to drape themselves over me like a tattered cloak as the sound brought me back to that moment. Another cry stirred me from memory, my thoughts coming somewhat frantically. The notice had warned of downed trees and other hazards, and perhaps the animal had fallen victim to one of those above. My mind conjured an image of the beautiful thing, its legs partially impaled on some jutting piece of broken wood as it cried desperately for help that wouldn't come. Perhaps my thinking was clouded by an old trauma, logic failing at that moment, but I felt an unshakable urge to help the creature. How would I be able to help a 200-pound animal deep on a closed trail I wasn't meant to be on? I hadn't determined, but emotion drove my actions. I ran my mind across a small list of predators one might encounter in the Illinois forest, and though none seemed likely, I wasn't going to take a chance. I riffled through the camera bag for a few tense moments until I found what I was looking for. In the neighboring pocket to the one holding my emergency flare gun with two flares stuck in alongside it was a cheap revolver. I brought it a few years before just for a scary run-in with a mountain lion at the state park, and carried it for the sole purpose of scaring off something big. I felt a modicum of comfort as I gripped the handle. Adjusting my pants, I stuck it firmly between my waistband, confident that in the off chance a ranger or anyone else was this far out, to quell fears of concealed carry violations. I tried to swallow the lump of anxiety in my throat, steeling myself as I slid down the slight decline, where the animal had disappeared through the tree line of some of the massive old trees. So this is where it started. As I stepped through it, it was as though I had stepped into another world, entering a clearing that bore every potential scar of a wildfire. It was one of ash and waste, the ground littered with a few burnt stumps of the trees that had once stood. Sooty ash traveled on the breeze, sticking to the sweat of my brow. Save for the few standing twists of bark charred a pale white, and the skeletal shapes of trees barren to the leaves and branches. The last stubborn remnants of some of the regal oaks that had once stood there. It appeared all but desolate until I saw it. At the end center of this surreal little wasteland hidden within the trees, stood the only tree that seemed relatively unharmed somehow by the destruction that had been brought. Something vague and ominous tangled in me at the sight of it, dwarfed by the overwhelming curiosity the unusual thing arose. It stood, all but untouched by the blaze that had laid waste to the forest around it. From where I stood, it looked almost like an unusually large birch tree, its bark pale, with what looked like dark knots along its surface. A shock of brilliant red leaves extended from the top of it. As I drew closer, my eyes roaming its shape, I saw, peeking from behind the bottom of its trunk, two hoofed back legs. The embers of unease were fanned, blazing a bit hotter, as I realized I'd found what I was looking for. The deer, that regal thing I intended to capture in its glory. It was almost surely dead, if not asleep, and I very much doubted that by its stillness, laying there with its upper half concealed behind the wide trunk of this odd tree, and the way its legs splayed out unnaturally. I considered turning back, the thought weighing heavier on my mind with the growing unease. When else am I going to see something like this? This is why you come here, to be out of your comfort zone. The thought was almost a realization, but I knew it was true. There was no way I was turning back yet. Curiosity burnt every bit as bright as my discomfort, perhaps brighter as I grew nearer and saw the odd shuffle of the strange tree leaves. The scene was almost beautiful in a morbid way. The deer laid partially concealed behind the loot-layered white tree in a land of waste, as ash carried on the breeze like snow. The tree itself, I realized, was just as haunting in its own regard, and against my better judgment, I approached. Along it stood at the center of the clearing burnt into the forest like a scar, amongst nothing but ash and gnarled remains of others it stood. The longer I looked at it, the more I could feel an animal dread clawing at the recess of my mind, which I dismissed as a natural instinct of being in the area following such ruin. As I approached, any semblance of beauty faded as it was brought into resolve. I'm no arborist or whatever. I've never claimed to be some expert in plants, but I have seen my fair share of trees and could identify damn near any native to the area. The thing was different. It looked vaguely like an oak, now that I was within a yard or two of it, yet its bark seemed strange, almost dead somehow. It bloated out as though whatever grew inside wouldn't fit the bark for much longer, distending outwards at unusual angles. Its color was more gray than the usual tone of brown, and little flecks of burnt wood flaked and peeled off all over it, leaving some resembling a ring of ash at its base. The knots bulging out from it at points were almost spherical in shape, its deep gouges down the center of them, and made my skin crawl with an insectoid sensation, the urge to saw each of them off, raising the hair along the back until I got closer to the top of the thing. Jeez, oh, I breathed as I took a closer look at the tree's strange foliage. The leaves, if I could even call them that, were unlike anything I had ever seen. They were less leaves by any recognizable metric, and more like clear sacks of reddish liquid, each in a teardrop shape that, at a distance, made them appear to be red leaves. As I drew closer, I couldn't tell what they were. They pulsated, barely, but it was noticeable the longer I looked. They filled and emptied with each quiver, cycling more of that liquid through each pump. It was like thousands of little malformed hearts lined the branches of the things pumping in unison. My skin crawled and contracted with primal disgust, as though insects were crawling the surface. Everything about this unnatural sight made me sick. I need to get a picture, I thought. The deer almost gone from my mind at this point. There was something so strange, so alien and impossible about what I was seeing, that before I realized what I was doing, I'd slung my camera over my shoulder and reached out, and tipped my index finger touching one of the pulsating leaves. The pace of its pulse quickened to a frantic point, the red ooze contained within its membranous walls leaking through unseen pores and onto my hand. Ah, frickin' gross! I cried, yanking my hand away. A sickly sweat scent wafted forth me, as though my contact had caused it, an unappealing sensation when blended with the sheer disgust I felt at the substance. My stomach turned with the palpable threat of vomit in response. It was...
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Warm and thick, like coagulated blood, and started to burn increasingly the longer it sat. I wiped my hand against my pant leg vigorously, managing to get most of the red liquid off, though it left a stain on my palm. My mind grew a blank for anything even vaguely similar. From some murky depths of my consciousness, something cried for me to get as far away as I could from the thing. An inexplicable dread rising in me at the sight of the thing. Yet even more pronounced was the curiosity I felt surging, and the enticement of the prospect that I had somehow discovered something unheard of outweighed the surreality of the situation. This tree was utterly unlike any plant I had ever seen, seeming to possess features I had only known to exist in animals. And my mind began to run wild with images and my name in journals and massive paydays for the first photographic evidence of an unnatural type of life and leaving behind the cubicle life. As if by the flip of a switch as I stood there, I recalled the very reason I had entered the clearing. The deer. I had wanted to get a good look at it. A morbid curiosity as to why it just seemed to drop dead, pushing me forth. I rounded the tree, the legs coming more and more into view around the other side as I did. The bark seemed to radiate with an odd heat from somewhere within, reminiscent of the warmth emitting from the other person's body when you stand too close. Nausea twisted my stomach into knots and my mouth went dry. The soles of my brown hiking boots were stained in dark red amongst the clinging dirt. A swell of panic began to arise, my mind beginning to reel off possibility after possibility for why or how it had even ended up like that in so little time, knowing no animal that was native to this part of the country was possible of that sort of destruction. I rounded the tree, dueling confusion and dread both blooming in me as I realized I had been wrong, or half wrong at least. The deer hadn't simply been laying behind the tree, not all of it at least. It was certainly dead, though what laid before me in a dark pool of scarlet blood was only the lower half of its body. Anything above the center of its chest tore away. I kept my head ducked, doing what I could to avoid my head touching one of those sticky leaves as I stared at it. Curiosity and the strange surreality of the situation freezing me in place, my mind beginning to flood with questions. Chief among them being, where was the other half of this creature? My mind reeled for an answer. I had only seen it mere minutes ago, and to my understanding, even a mountain lion couldn't do such damage in so little time, let alone disappear without a trace. I was beginning to question why I had ventured this far, the light-hearted hopes of an adventure from earlier all but gone within the realization I may have knowingly brought myself near whatever predator was capable of this. The stark of silence in the clearing began to feel dark and foreboding, when the thoughts were scattered in an instant by the feeling of something warm and wet hitting the center of my forehead. A shock rippled out from the point of contact. I stumbled back, wiping away at it. Disgust took blossoms out in waves, my stomach twisting at the sight of the red streak along my hand. For a moment, I brought my hand close to my face, reluctantly, expecting, almost hoping for the sweet scent of that strange sap from the leaves. I pulled back immediately once I knew there was none. It was blood. The consistency was unmistakable. I rubbed away vigorously at my forehead with the bottom of my shirt, staining it the same color, my eyes roaming up the tree in an automatic response. The blur of motion, from something large and dark falling quickly from above, along with the wet rustle of those strange leaves, spurred me into motion before I could process it. "Shoot!" I cried, leaping back in time to narrowly avoid being crushed beneath it. The impact of whatever it was kicked a cloud of ash up in its wake, billowing in all directions, and I could feel an irritating itch in my throat as I breathed it in, descending into a brief coughing fit. As the ash cleared from the air, it revealed what had almost crushed me. Falling apparently somewhere out of the canopy of this unnerving tree was revealed. The air felt cold, colder than before, and a sense of horror bred only by a series of inexplicable events gripped my heart in an icy vice of panic as I looked up to the upper half of the deer, my mind still reeling at its sudden appearance. Large puncture wounds lined its body as though something massive had been clawing at it, tattered flecks of muscle and tissue hanging from the point at which it was clearly been ripped in half. My mind reeled, conjuring frightful images of the animal capable of doing this. It was time to go, I realized. There was something large and predatory nearby, and I didn't want to meet it. I turned to leave, giving a parting look at the impossible tree. Its pale, strange bark, and those pulsating cell-like leaves, as I climbed the little small incline out of the ash and clearing. I began to walk back, but with every step, the nagging instinct to return for just a moment grew. It was as if my camera turned hot in my hand, begging me to go back and take just one more photo of that thing. Shoot, I forgot the picture. I came all this way for nothing at this point, I thought. And you'll never see anything like this again, possibly. Just one picture. My pace slowed, and eventually, with a sign, I came to a stop. Goddamn idiot, I muttered. Just one picture, from a distance, and then I'm out. I repeated it under my breath as if I was in a mantra, my eyes on my camera as I processed back towards the edge of the area, scarred by the apparent fire, getting my settings in order. I arrived at the precipice of the little drop-in, and given my camera a final look-over to ensure the process was quick and smooth, slid down into the clearing. I landed with the firm crunch of dead or dying leaves under my feet, and closing my other eye, lined up the eerie tree in my viewfinder, through the haunting shapes making up the forest chattering remnants surrounding it, seeing it for the first time since I had turned back. Crunch. An animalistic crunch rang out. My heart went into freefall. The clearing echoed with a stomach-turning series of sounds like the slopping chewing of a massive animal, making my blood run cold. Dread washed over me like a waterfall as I saw through my camera something I couldn't understand. Somehow, both halves of the deer hung several feet from the ground, tangled in the pale limbs of the tree which seemed to have wrapped one or more of their legs in a vice grip, as if it had grown around them. At first it appeared that the tree was covered in insects, or small worms lashing out at the corpse, until I realized what I was seeing, and it was somehow worse. The feeling quickly faded into a sense of stomach-twisting horror, the likes of which I had never known before, at the utter alien impossibility of what I was looking at. Those leaves. I don't know if I could even call them that. They were like parasites. Small rope-like growths shooting in and out of them, latching on to the animal's remains, going from pale to red as they filled with its blood. I watched, awash in a paralyzing blend of odd horror and disgust, as they thrashed at and fought with one another in their attempts to feed, extensions colliding blindly into the corpse. They would sometimes entangle each other by accident in a frenzy, leading to a thrashing conflict ending only when one seemed to tear the other from its leaf, which would grow another and continue the horrific feeding. It was frantic, unearthly, and I could feel my sanity shift under the weight of it all. Suddenly, as though receiving some collective instruction, the leaves curled away, withdrawing their strange growths. In that same instance, the branch of the tree began to coil and tighten, resembling less the appendage of any sort of tree and more the torso of a snake or some ungodly tentacle. The branch of the tree raised, with a slow creak that filled the air as its bark tilted back, those reaching leaves lowered close to the ground. That hole, which I had rightfully assumed the deer had been impaled with, though I had not anticipated how, opened wider, and I understood immediately what it was, as it squeezed remnants of blood and viscera from the poor beast's lower half like a child would a juice box. It lowered the rest of the animal into its mouth, gnawing violently on the bony lower half. The crunching continued. The sound horrid and muffled.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
From within the bark of whatever the F that thing was. And its branch-like limbs lowered to its sides, the bark ripping and folding with motion, like the hide of a lizard as it devoured its mouthful. Fear sent a spasm through my body. I tensed. My finger twitched. Beep, click. My camera gives off its electronic chime, followed by the click of the lens as it takes a photo. Searing panic grips my heart in a vice until it feels as though I may have passed out. Everything in me yearned to run, to get as far away from whatever impossibility I was seeing. My thoughts sporadic and non-linear under the sheer amount of panic I felt. But for a few moments, my body remained frozen, terror robbing me of my faculties. For several seconds, there was nothing. The noisy chewing of the thing in the center of the clearing stopped abruptly, but the whisper of the breeze amongst the surrounding leaves and the echoed click of the camera. The tension in the air was suffocating, and I stepped back against the mound of earth at my back. Malevolent energy palpable in waves from the monstrous thing standing just a few yards ahead of me. I watched through the lens, afraid to even move my hand from my face. Every second of stillness watered both hope and swelling horror in opposition. The groan of creaking wood carried through the silent woods with ominous effect. The stir of the thing's leaves were the first sign of its movement. The entire thing moved, its massive form turning in place. I immediately understood why there had been such odd details on the thing, and the strange sense of pareidolia I felt while looking at it that I couldn't quite pinpoint. I could see now that several of the strange knots and lines throughout had simply been shut, concealing behind them the true nature of whatever was inside of the bark. The lines that had seemed almost carved into the warped wood revealed rows of small jagged teeth, like the jaws of a lamprey. The knots in the bark were apparently eyelids, dozens of them sprouting forth all over the strange creature. Beneath them sat dozens of little piercing yellow eyes like those of a snake. All of them were directed at me. A cold dagger of dread seared through me. Shoot. The thoughts summed up all I felt succinctly, my thoughts instantly awash a sort of dread I had never known. And a familiar irritation at my error, this time with surely dire consequences. Its rear backed. the hole that could have only been its mouth, stretching open to give a momentary glimpse at something dark and wet-looking beneath, before another mouth opened, this one lined with rows of small teeth that weren't made of wood. The sound like a wail of an infant, but something far much larger, unhinged and raw with emotion, tinged with a fury that made my skin crawl. It rang from behind me, echoing off the surrounding trees, almost making me feel surrounded. The horror rolled through me in tidal waves, adrenaline soon following, sending a warm shock through my system, kicking my heart into a painful rhythm. I turned, the hairs on the back of my neck rising as I put the thing behind me, and scurried up the little earthbound and out of the clearing, rising to my feet with more effort than I would have liked as I started to run back the way I'd come. The sound of rushing wind rang out from behind me like some miniature hurricane moved in my wake, and as I chanced a glance before the clearing disappeared behind the foliage, I saw it stretch itself along the ground and begin slithering forward with an all-weird speed of ferocity of a charging animal, slithering with surprisingly agility between the charred remnants of the forest dotting the impromptu clearing. I ran, jumping over gulches and ducking beneath the limbs of trees as I fled down the unkept path. The camera and its bag bucked against my back, slung over opposite shoulders, and I worried for a moment that the strap wouldn't hold before immediately dismissing the thought of how stupid it was given present circumstances. With every step, my legs threatened to collapse from beneath me, fear and exhaustion spreading like an infection, making my body feel heavy and unresponsive. The rush of blood roared in my ears and my head throbbed as I watched the forest floor ahead of me, desperate not to stumble over anything, knowing a simple trip would be the difference between life and a cliche horror movie death. I stuck to the path as best as I could, veering off at points in order to put trees between the slithering monstrosity and myself. It cried out again, close enough behind that I could feel the vibration of it in my bones. My heart plummeted, the sheer horror motivating a momentary burst of speed. The forest echoed with the cracking of bark and breaking wood from the creature itself, and all that it trampled in its wake, the leaves on surrounding trees shaking with its approach. I made a split decision to chance another glance behind me. A flood of adrenaline spurred by existential dread spurred me forth as I saw it. That thing was slithering amongst the treetops, making them creak under its weight as the trunk of its body wrapped around those of the massive oaks as it stretched from tree to tree. Its branches were merely a grasping mass of limbs, almost tentacles it seemed, sheathed in wood. It moved with an impossible speed and fluidity for something of its size. The leaves that clung to its limbs ejected their thin vestiges fiercely, creating an almost pulse-like effect. It was moving too fast. There was no way I was going to be able to outrun it. The exit from the trail was 10-15 minutes away at least, and the thing was closing the distance between us rapidly, the cacophony behind me growing closer by the second regardless of my own speed. I'm going to die. This isn't possible, and I'm going to die too. I couldn't even finish the thought. Not for the horror of the realization, but the simple fact that I hadn't any clue what I was running from. Then I heard it. The faint trickle of running water was audible from ahead even amongst the chaos. I felt a sudden rush of something close to hope as the charred remnants of the bridge came into view soon after. Something in me sparked at the first sight of something familiar, the bridge almost feeling like a landmark to spur me forth. Desperation surged through the passageways of my brain as an idea occurred. Before I could consider what I was doing, I drew the revolver from my waist and lined a shot as best as I could while still running. Panic coiled around my heart. With every step, my pace slowed as I tried to take in a breath and steady myself. I fired.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
It's never too early for Lowe's Black Friday deals. Snag some of our biggest savings of the season right now, like 25% off select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees. And get yourself free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit before the Black Friday rush. Because everyone loves free stuff, right? Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.